For blind and visually impaired people, maintaining our independence is so very important. In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about a discussion I had with my rheumatologist about some new medicine options. I've also got a Ziggy story.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 116 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode. And remember, all the socials includes Clubhouse, but I haven't really been there that much in the last week. So you can look for me there, connect with me. And one thing I did find out, and I have to thank Dan for reaching out to talk about the intro and outro. And since Dan and I went back and forth, I did find out, and it was alluded to in PodFest, we just weren't sure when it was going to happen, Apple is going to stop calling it a subscription when you connect with a podcast. They're going to say follow, because they were thinking that the subscription, when you say subscribe, hey, that might cost me some money, because you subscribe to Disney Plus, and you subscribe to Apple TV Plus, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to have to redo at least the outro. I will probably redo both, as I mentioned before, once I get some music that I really like. I haven't been looking high and low for that as of late. Again, still on limited computer time. So, you know, there's some other things that I've been doing. One thing that I should be doing is looking for some tax information so that I can get all that information to our accountant. I guess I should hurry too, right? But I do have a few things to talk about today, and a couple of great things besides Dan reaching out. And again, if you have any questions or comments, please reach out like Dan did. And thank you, Dan. 646-926-6350, or you can email icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it is only seven letters long. So the few things that I have to talk about today, the first thing, and I apologize because I should have mentioned it last week because you could have participated in it, and I didn't think about it until the day of the event. The Keystone Chapter did a virtual tour of Egypt presented by the Penn Museum, and I think I might have mentioned it a while back because I had helped Kevin when he was fine-tuning it back last summer. And it is fantastic. Last summer when we did it, he did it over a service called BlueJean, which is just an audio only. You use your phone and you dial in. But this one we did via Zoom. And I was kind of surprised because, like I said, when I did it over the summer, it was only over the phone, even though I used my smartphone, my iPhone. There was nothing to look at. And, you know, again, for blind folks, it doesn't really matter if there's anything to look at. But in this one, I did notice that he did have some slides, not that I could read them. So I thought it was very cool. And I thought, wow, I really wish I had mentioned this because, again, it's a great thing. It was about an hour long. And the Penn Museum does so many great things and is such a cool place to go. And I miss going there. And hopefully we'll do some more of that. And hopefully Kevin will produce some more, whether he does presentations like this, where they actually make a little money for the museum, or if they just start doing a podcast, which would also be very cool. And if you remember, I've been to the Penn Museum quite a few times, not only with the Keystone Chapter, but with Philly Touch Tours and Trish and Catherine, who do some training there, not just with the Penn Museum staff, but other museum staffs and gardens and things like that to show folks that work at these different museums how you could help blind and visually impaired folks navigate through a museum and help them learn what they can't see. And with the Penn Museum, as I've mentioned, you know, there are days where you actually can, you know, blind folks and visually impaired folks can actually touch some of the stuff, and it is just so cool when you reach out and you touch the hieroglyphics that are, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years old, and you feel all the different things, and just so awesome. And I, you know, it's been a beautiful few days here in Swarthmore, and it would just be so awesome to just, you know, walk to the train station, jump on the train, and go into the museum to have a look around, because it's been quite a while since I've been there, and I guess it's over a year at this point. And like most folks, that's one of the things that I really miss. And it kind of segs into my main topic of conversation today, which is a rheumatology appointment that I went to yesterday. And when I was there, which I had put off going to because I didn't want to get into an Uber with someone else and then have to find my way. And not that it's difficult once I got to the hospital where the offices are of my rheumatologist. You know, all the different folks I'd come in contact with, I just wasn't comfortable doing that, not just on my own, just doing it in general. And so when my original appointment was scheduled back in December, I think it was, you know, I put it off because Liz couldn't have time off. So, you know, we pushed it through till March and she was able to get the afternoon. I scheduled the appointment in the afternoon so she could work half a day and then come home and I could go with her to my appointment, and it made it a little more palatable for me to do it, because again, I'm still not comfortable being around folks. And, you know, again, you're at the doctor and they're, you know, especially the rheumatologist, he's touching all my knuckles and everything else. So, you know, still not 100% comfortable, but I had to go. I've been, you know, it's, as I've mentioned before, just in an excruciating pain over the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. And so one of the things going from the museum where I could walk to the train station on my own, get on the train on my own, go into Philadelphia, walk to the museum from that train station, and then walk around the museum on my own. When I was at the rheumatologist, he said, well, here's some new options. We got to change your medicine. And he talked about these injectables. And I don't have anything against the injectables. I was on Humira a while back, you know, around 2017. And it wasn't a problem, you know, jabbing my leg, other than that one time when it was, you know, I must have hit something and blood was just, you know, going all over the couch, which I guess I wouldn't sit on the couch now. Our couch is white, so that would really be an issue. The problem is getting to the point where you stick yourself and hit the button to have the spring-loaded thing, you know, inject it. You got to look at it. You got to check to make sure it's not cloudy. You got to check the lot number to make sure that lines up with whatever the paperwork says, all of which I couldn't do on my own. And when we talked about it yesterday, he said to me, he said, do you have anything against the biologics? I said, other than the crazy, you know, side effects that some of them cause, or I guess I should say could cause. You know, I always, as I've mentioned on countless number of episodes, I hate taking new meds because you don't know what side effects, and not just side effects, but, you know, weight gain, weight loss, whatever. And some of the side effects are crazy with some of these things, especially in the era of COVID, where you can become more susceptible to infection and things like that. So I've tried to hold off. It's just gotten to the point now where, you know, there's pain in so many different spots because of the, you know, because of the psoriatic arthritis. It's just, I think it's time. And so we are going to try to get on something. But when we were talking about the different options, you know, and I told him that I was on Humira, but I didn't like it, even though it was only every, I think that you took the shot every other week, I think it was. You know, so that meant you took it around the same time every, I think I took it on a Thursday. Well, kind of like I do the podcast on a Thursday. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, Thursday is Liz's long day. So, okay, maybe we pick a different day, whatever. But it still means that it's something that she has to do above and beyond what she, all the other stuff she has to do. And I understand that, you know, there are things that, you know, I help her with and I help the kids with and the kids help me with and so forth and so on. But I want to be able to do it on my own, just like everything else. Just like when I talked about Washington Seminar over the last few weeks, one of the parts of the agenda that we're trying to get legislation for is the home medical device that are inaccessible to blind folks. You know, and this would also be difficult for me to do on my own. So the medicine that we are probably going to go for or try, whether my insurance approves it or not, we'll see. It's called Stelara. And I was reading the side effects the other day and I'm thinking, oh, you know, death is one of them. So if the podcast stops, you know, you can you can speculate that might be it. But there's all sorts of other crazy things that, you know, you can get from it or happen from it. I shouldn't say get from it. So, and the reason that that one is a good option, because you have to take it less. It's once every quarter. You take it every 3 months. And so one time every 3 months, you know, we'll have to make sure Liz or one of the kids can, you know, look at the stuff and, you know, do all that checklist stuff before, you know, before I stick myself in the leg or wherever I stick myself. I don't know any of the particulars about this. Humira I chose to inject in my thigh because it was an easy spot for me to do. And it worked out well, except for that one time. So, you know, and he said to me, he said, well, you're not really giving up your independence. Independence. And I said, I am, because I can't do it on my own. I mean, I could do it on my own, but if there's something wrong with the medicine, I'm not going to know. And that's, you know, that could cause greater problems or, you know, death, as I said, you know. And again, I don't know what the particulars are. With Humira, you had to do all these different things. Check to make sure it's not, the seal isn't broken. Check to make sure the cap is on correctly. Check to make sure, you know, through the little window that the liquid still looks clear, which, like, the fluid in my knee was clear. So I said to him, I guess I'm done. You know, because, you know, when you cook chicken, you have to make sure the juices are clear. He didn't get it either. So, you know, so when I think, and I mentioned to him, I said, you know, it's a big thing for folks who are blind and visually impaired to maintain their independence as much as they can. And as I mentioned last week, when we talked about voting, you know, once every year, well, I guess it's twice since there's primaries, you know, if Liz has to help me go in, she's doing that as well. We're both voting. It's not like I'm making her, you know, do this or do that on her. You know, there are some things that I just have to be okay with, you know, and I'm okay with Liz, first of all, because we have the same ideology. And second of all, she's there anyway doing it. So, you know, I'm very mindful of that. You know, I guess I wasn't that mindful when I was asked to become treasurer of the Keystone chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. And I said, yes. You know, because we still handwrite checks, I don't handwrite the checks. So Liz has to write those checks. So the check for the Penn Museum, Liz has to write, then I sign, then, you know, we put it in an envelope and we mail it. So if we get QuickBooks, I will add QuickBooks. I will add the Keystone info to that, and then I could do it all on my own. I lied, because I can't do the mobile banking on my own, because, you know, you have to line up everything to take the pictures. So independence is a big thing, as I've mentioned on previous episodes. And to maintain my independence, it is so important. And I was talking with a couple of folks a week or so ago, and we mentioned, you know, about being in Philadelphia. And one of the people on the call lives in Philadelphia. And I just remember walking to a different museum, the Museum of the American Revolution, also very cool, and also one that has reached out to Catherine and Trish to help learn on how to assist blind and visually impaired folks navigate the museum and get the most they can out of the museum. When I was walking from the train to the museum, and it's, I don't know, five blocks or whatever, on my way, it's past Independence Hall, and there's just something so, I don't want to say magical, but so special about walking down the street. And look, right over there, they, you know, the country started right over there. And if you go back through my Instagram, there is at least one blind selfie of me in front of Independence Hall. Again, just so very cool. In fact, on the website, I know the main picture on the front page was taken in the Independence Mall area. It's not in front of Independence Hall, but it's a building close by, actually right across the street, actually, of it. So maintaining our independence, that is the main thing that blind folks want to do. They don't want to have to rely on someone. Now, that being said, I've talked to some of my blind friends and other members of various chapters of the National Federation of the Blind, and they'll say, oh, well, sometimes I get them to help me to do this or to do that. I don't want that help. If I need help, I'll ask for it. And that's, you know, and I'm happy someone would be there to assist, but I don't want the help unless I ask for it. And so the independence thing is huge. And that's the bottom line. Maintaining our independence to do what we want to do on our own. And I was telling the rheumatologist, he said, well, you know, what's out there that could help you see? I said, well, you know, and I mentioned a few of the things that I've talked about here before, OrCam and eSight, both of which I've tried, and just both are ungodly expensive and just don't deliver enough to warrant spending the money on them. So, you know, I said, there's a better chance that there's something on my iPhone that could help, not help me see, but help me know what I'm looking at. And I gave him a free example of Seeing AI, which I've talked about before. And I'll put that in the show notes in case you want to get it. It's a free app from Microsoft. And again, I've mentioned it before how I am not a big fan of Microsoft, but you know, this app is great. And I showed him in the room that we were in yesterday. I said, tell me if there is any kind of posters or anything on the walls that have, you know, writing on them. And he said, yeah, right over here. And so I opened the app and I went over and I said, here's how I would go around, because I had told him about the museum. I said, I've walked around the Penn Museum and I just walk along. And, you know, when I get near something that I want to know more about, I just kind of wave my phone around until it starts reading to me. And, you know, I did that in front of this poster. And it started reading. And, you know, actually in the waiting room, he had four copies, four different years of Philadelphia Magazine, in which he was rated as, you know, once a year they do a thing called Top Docs or something like that. And one of the magazines from, I don't remember what year it was, from 2017, 2018, Liz couldn't see what the name of the person was who was on the cover. And so I just started, I said, hold on, let me see if we can, you know, get my phone to do it. And it said the name, and it was a foreign name. So we still really had no idea, you know, who the person was, because it was, you know, just like when somebody reads a name that, you know, they're not familiar with, or it's in a different language, you know, my phone, you know, will read it funny sometimes. Sometimes it does it right. Like, you know, like I've mentioned, but there are some days like it'll, you know, when it says it's a nice day outside, it'll say it's a nice day outside, you know, like the city in France. You know, so I went over that and again, explained to him, you know, how important independence is. And, you know, he kind of understood at that point, you know, and I told him, you know, look, let's try for this medicine. And, you know, if we can't do this, then we'll, you know, go back and see what else we can do. So I can't even imagine what kind of price the medicine is, since you only take it four times a year. You know, some of the medicine that I've taken, the Humira was, I don't know, $6,000 or $7,000. The Otezla that I take, I think, is like $4,000 or $5,000. Just crazy amounts, you know, for for a little tiny pill. You know, and again, you know, the pill doesn't cost the money. It was the get the ingredients to put that stuff together to make it a pill back when they did the research. I get that. So independence is huge. So again, as I've mentioned many times before, if you see a blind person or visually impaired person and they're moving about and they don't seem to need your help, you know, just leave them be. You can say hi, I guess. But, you know, no need to, you know, offer assistance unless it looks like they need it. You know, and we appreciate when you do offer assistance and we need it. So very important for us to maintain our independence. And I guess I'm talking about more than just blind folks. Lastly, I want to talk about a funny story with Ziggy. And I seem to have a lot of those, and I guess they'll keep coming. So Sunday, we are all here at home, as, you know, we usually are on the weekends. You know, Liz and Jane aren't at work. Well, Jane works upstairs, so she wasn't in the office. She was, you know, in the living room, I guess, or doing something else. I was in the kitchen. Liz was sitting on the couch. And the dog ran over to her. And Liz and Jane only wear socks in the house. They do not wear their shoes. I, as I've mentioned, again, primarily because of my psoriatic arthritis and the fact that I can't see, I always wear shoes all the time because my feet always hurt for one thing. And even when they don't hurt a lot, I always step on things because I don't see them. And so the combination, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that. So I always have shoes on my feet, not slippers, shoes, regular shoes, tied up, socks and everything. So Liz is sitting on the couch watching TV. Dog comes up to her and grabs a sock off of her foot. Now, it wasn't a long sock, so it was easy for him to get it off her foot. And in the ensuing chase, he swallowed it. So that was, you know, and I said, are you sure he swallowed it? Check under, you know, he was under the kitchen table for a minute. I said, check under there, make sure it's not there. And Liz said, it's gone. He swallowed it. It's not there. So now we're panicked because that's one of the things that before we got Ziggy, you know, watching the different YouTube videos, you know, it's very important that, you know, they don't swallow stuff like that because it could cause a blockage. So it's Sunday afternoon or so, maybe early afternoon, you know, just after 12:30. And I said, call the vet. She's like, they don't have office hours today. I said, well, they've got to point you in the right direction of someone. So they did. And it was another vet out in Malvern. Malvern from Swarthmore is around 30, 35 minutes drive. Ziggy's not 100% comfortable in the car yet, especially because we don't really have a crate for him to travel in. Either Jane or I have gone when he's had an appointment. And, you know, he sits on our lap and he just wants to get to Liz. And of course, Liz is driving the car. So we don't want that to happen because then that would end badly for all of us. So he sat on my lap the whole way there and he was pretty good. He was, you know, a little squirmy. But once we got there, you know, the girl comes out again, COVID protocol, you don't go in. Somebody comes out with a leash of their own, and takes him in. Just like at our normal vet, which is, you know, 3 minutes from our house. So as soon as the girl comes to the car, he gets super excited. He can't wait. And the girl was all excited. She said, oh, we need a puppy fix today. And, you know, we're going to be so happy to see him and blah, blah, blah. And so he's very excited and he goes in and I don't know, he's in there 15 or 20 minutes and Liz's phone rings and it's the vet. And she said, yep, he, you know, we gave him this. And so he threw it up. He vomited it up along with some food. And then he tried to eat it again, the sock, not the food. And we wouldn't let him, of course. And so I'm just going to give him something to stop the nausea. And then we'll, you know, we'll bring him back, send it back out to you. And, you know, she said, this doesn't bode well, you know, and she didn't even know about, you know, at what I talked about in episode 113 with the, you know, with the marijuana. So, you know, we're waiting a few more minutes and we go through the payment information, you know, with a different girl and we found out how much he weighed. And I'm guessing it was before he threw up because I can't imagine they'd weigh him after. And it was 29 pounds. And, you know, we're a little worried that he's going to be on the larger side of things because he just seems... His paws just seem so big, and so we'll see how it goes. I don't know, you know, how his siblings are in the group. So once we get he has an appointment a week from tomorrow. You know, the 4 month checkup where he gets his final shot, and then he can interact with other dogs. And we're looking forward to that. But we'll get a weight, and then we'll hopefully compare with the other folks who have, you know, his brothers and sisters to see how he's doing on that scale. Pardon the pun. So, you know, so when he comes out, they, you know, they bring him out. He's just as happy as and as excited. He sees there's another car that had pulled up that had an older dog, and they're like, you know, oohing and aahing over him. So of course he goes over to them and he's wagging his tail and they're petting him. And I don't know how that's good for COVID protocol, but you know, Ziggy enjoyed it. And then, you know, the girl brought him back over to the car and we opened the door and Liz put him on my lap and, you know, we came home. And, you know, in the Facebook group with the brothers and sisters of the, you know, the litter, you know, one of the people said, well, maybe he's learned his lesson. And I'm thinking he didn't learn any lesson. He got to ride in the car, which, like I said, I don't think he's 100% comfortable with yet. And that was probably the worst part of it. The throwing up wasn't an issue because he got to meet all these new people, which he loves. He just always wants to see people and interact with them. He does it for our neighbor here when she pulls in and he gets all excited. Today, when we were outside and it's been beautiful here, like I said, you know, we were outside today for a while. The mail carrier was here and he wanted to see her. And, you know, he just gets excited for people unless they have, you know, a vacuum cleaner in their hand or like the guy who was doing yard work yesterday, cutting down some bushes for us. You know, the saw kind of scared him. But without a saw, I'm sure Ziggy would be all over him. So just a funny story with him. And, you know, it's a little worrisome because he eats just about anything. And hopefully that will pass as he gets a little older and before he eats something that kills him, you know, because we're not on him. You know, in the backyard, for example, I like to take him off the leash because, you know, even though we don't have that final fence up, he doesn't realize he can get over it yet. And, you know, to run after a ball or run after a toy, he loves doing that. And I love watching him run around and it's good to tire him out. You know, maybe once we start taking him for walks, once he has that final shot, you know, next week, you know, it's a good way to run him around and get him tired. So, you know, I know there's things that he picks up that, the other day when I was out there, I could tell he had something because he's prancing around like he had something good. I knew it wasn't just a wood chip. So hopefully things will go well there. And again, just another funny story. And, we are looking into the pet insurance because as I said, the vet on Sunday said it doesn't bode well and he will continue to do that. And somebody else told me that, their dog is 11 and still, you know, picking up socks and stuff like that. So, you know, we're very careful now and hopefully Liz doesn't wear those short socks anymore and make it easier to just come right over and grab it right off her foot. So that's what I have for you for episode 116. And I hope you are continuing to stay safe and wearing your mask if you want. If not, you know, keep your distance from me, please. But, you know, go for it without the mask. I mean, obviously out in the backyard, I don't wear the mask unless I'm going to be around people. You know, hopefully things are going well for you. And I do appreciate you listening. Again, episode 116. You can check out the show notes. ICANTSEEYOU.com/116. Remember, I can't see you. ICANTSEEYOU.com. Sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. Again, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.